It's the Tiltcast, episode 283, Light Shafted Dragon.
Shafted. Hey, and so this week we're going to talk about some Final Fantasy X, Pillars of Eternity, again, 7 Days to Die, and base-making techniques.
Zombies.
Hey, and you know what? We're also going to give you a preview of Game of the Year.
Oh.
So, stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah. We have been pooped, and we are ready to go. It's Tiltcast.
It is the Tiltcast. It is December 18th.
It is. Holy shit.
Yep.
It's almost over, guys. The year from freaking hell has... It's almost over, guys.
And it is 14 degrees outside here.
It is.
It was like 4 earlier today.
Oh, no, well, it's not nearly as bad as they had it farther north in the country. They had it, it was like negative 30 or some shit.
Like that by your parents?
No. It was more like the Dakotas and whatnot, but
it was negative 30?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It's stupid, man. People are freaking pissing freaking icicles and shit. It was weird.
That's unreal cold.
It's the kind of... You take the hot water outside, throw it in the wind, and it turns into snow before your eyes. It's that kind of freaking cold. It's the kind of cold that you go to kiss somebody else and you stick together. It's that kind of freaking cold.
You go inside.
You know, you don't dare put your hand on your jug in that kind of cold.
Oh, well, maybe. Oh, yeah. So if it's not already obvious, it's me and Rusty.
Yeah, it's
Knox
just us.
And Rusty, and
it's just us. It's the two cast.
It's the last cast we're going to do this year.
Indeed. And everybody has said, fuck all this shit.
And we should have, this will probably go up right before the new year, I think.
Yep, probably. So, fucking happy new year.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Good fucking bye, 2016. I freaking want to forget shit completely. Well, not totally, but most of it, yes.
Well,
the bad, at least. Jesus Christ, this year's been terrible for, like,
what do you things. Say?
Well, like, all the shit that's happened. You know, the bad, you know, all of the creative talent that we've lost this year. It's just, like, they're dropping like flies, man.
Sounds like a board died today.
Really?
At 99.
No, well, come on. Just add another one to the freaking pile.
It really does this every year.
It does.
It's just it was a higher profile year to some people, though.
Because
David Bowie was a big one,
right? And I think that kind of like got people primed to be looking for this type of thing. You know, it's been happening for years, and it's just
out of like all of the like 70s musicians, though. Like Bowie's been making music for what, almost 50 years.
Yeah, it's the internet generation, the kids and us and the people who have started using the internet, these are the people that they looked up to growing up, and they're dropping like flies now. And of course, we've got the internet to spread the news. It was, you know, newspaper worthy back in the day. Now it's internet worthy, and everybody can share their views on it. So there's that.
Well, I mean, like the year Michael Jackson died, I'm sure it was a higher profile year too, because he was kind of a big influence, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with, you know, Michael Jackson's music, and
wasn't a huge fan, but I'll acknowledge that he was fucking gigantic, right?
Right. I'm glad you finished that sentence, by the way.
What I mean, that he liked children.
I'm just really glad you finished the sentence, man.
Whatever. So I think today we are going to round out maybe, well, let's start off. What have you been up to?
Oh, geez. Well, I've got free time now. So I got the holidays off. That's kind of a thing. So I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks to be able to recharge, play some fucking games, and, you know, just relax, because I've been working my ass off. But I have been playing fucking video games. I got my hands back on Final Fantasy X again. And I have this, this is like the fourth time I played through this game. And it's at different stages in my life, of course, when, you know, when I play this. At first I'm like, oh my God, it's a Final Fantasy game. Oh my God, they're speaking to me. Oh, this is fucking amazing. The second time was like, I want to destroy this game. I want to own this game to the point where there is literally nothing left to do. The third time I said, I destroyed it a few years ago. I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to try to do it faster. This time, I'm reflecting on the fact that the fucking story is really short.
Like, yeah, most of the main side quest.
The main fucking story is really fucking short in that game. And it just occurred to me. I'm like, holy shit. With the, you know, the story-driven games of the past few years in context, Final Fantasy X story is real fucking short. And it's flimsy. Like, there's so many fucking holes in it. There was so many different opportunities to expand on the story, to be able to build the characters more. Other than that, I mean, like...
Like, how long would you say the main story is if you wanted to mainline it?
If I mainlined it, probably... probably 30, 35 hours. And that is if I decided, balls to the wall, I don't care, and that's, just do as much as I possibly can with the shortest amount of time.
That's about 15, if you want me to be honest. I'm doing side dungeons right now. And like, it has this mechanic where you go, you got the big open area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a small linear area. And at the small linear area, you can, like, sort of, they have this weird mechanic where you can sort of, quote-unquote, travel back in time.
Right.
Not really, and then go back to that main area to do other things.
Okay.
Which is what I'm doing. I basically have the main story pause while I'm going through side dungeons.
Well, I mean, for Final Fantasy X, I mean, and I'm only talking about the main story beats and hitting the minimum amount of enemies to level you up. I'm not talking, like, if you had the opportunity to run away, and if it's a, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of experience for actually killing the beast, but it's going to take you a long fucking time to do, you run away from them and you just do the bare minimums. trying to speed run that fucking game is interesting with the random encounters and whatnot, but, and I'm not speed running it by any means. I'm just realizing that the bits of story that I get are short, and then there's long periods of walk in a direction. Oh, yeah. The fucking camera. I am... Oh, my God. All right, so if you remember, Final Fantasy X has a directed camera. It's kind of like the original Resident Evils. Only as you go through an area, the camera does actually move around and show you in different, you know, different angles. Like, it has this...
I'm trying to remember what it looks like. I'm actually, while you're talking about it, just pulling up a trailer of it so that I can remember.
Oh.
It's been forever.
But there's points in the, you know, in the game where the camera is in one direction. You cannot move the camera. And then I know why they did it. It was to obscure those hidden chests and things to have you exploring into the nooks and crannies and whatnot. But the with modern gaming, you have full control of the camera in most senses, or you have more control over the camera than you did before. So playing a game like Final Fantasy X and not being able to control the camera angle and be able to, and you having to basically fight your controls based off of how the camera's moving.
Right.
It falls short in the gameplay nowadays. I'm still playing it because it's still a damn good game, but yeah, these are the things that I notice over the years. And now I'm noticing them having had, you know, like Witcher 3 experiences and, you know, and things like that, you know, where you've got a fully realized world and you have a lot more control over it. So
how's it look?
How does it look? I mean, the HD version of Final Fantasy X?
Yeah.
There are certain things that's dated, like the character movement, for instance, like going through the story bits, they're very, very much, I don't know, stiff. They're not the kind of characters that you see nowadays, where they have intricate animations. If they're moving in a direction, they start that animation, and it's kind of jarring at some points. But as far as the textures are concerned, and the menus, and the music, they've updated those to a point where it's not like that same jarring experience of going back and playing Final Fantasy VII. You know, where you've got, like, stick figures and blocks on them, you know?
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
The textures are really well done. The music, the new music tracks, really well done. And the menus, I did a side-by-side comparison with a YouTube video that showed the originals and then showed the new UI, and there is quite a bit of difference there. Of course, that's easy to do, but...
How's Tidus? Is he still annoying as hell?
He's still annoying. And the word crybaby keeps popping up in the story a lot, and it just, I don't know why. It really doesn't further anything. Yeah.
Media.
Media. Turn it down. We don't need to see your ads. But I mean, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I got to the point where you're gearing up to fight Sin, so right near the end of the story where it opens up so you can do a bunch of side quests and shit. And then of course this also kind of shows the way that games are going. There really isn't a whole lot of direction. There's one hint as to where you should go before you do the whole Sin encounter. And that's pretty much it. But it gives you the entire world in a menu to go to. So I found myself saying, okay, what is there to do now? I remember something about celestial weapons, and then I looked up the guide for celestial weapons, and I said, ah, fuck that shit, because who wants to play hundreds of games of Blitzball? Yeah. I did that twice.
I wasn't a huge fan of Blitzball.
You remember the trick to it, right?
No, I barely remember playing the game, to be honest with you.
Well, the trick...
I remember some of the main characters.
Yeah, the trick to it is give Tidus the ball, get him as close to the enemy goal as possible, have him use Jet Shot or whatever his special move is, get a goal... get the ball back, and then run into or swim into your own goal. And if you keep holding the stick towards your goal, you will swim behind the goalie, and the enemy, the opposing team will just swim in circles. So you'll always have one point, and they can't ever get the ball back. It's still in the HD version, so you can still cheese it that way. And I think that's pretty much the only way to play. So... I hate that game so much. The Blitzball is... I mean, it's not Gwent, for sure.
There was
a lot of random chance in it, and it was... it kind of cheesed you in many, many different ways. Are you looking
at... Yeah, I'm looking at just like...
Yeah, the end gameplay. You're looking at the ultimate weapon? Or ultimate weapon?
Yeah.
One of the weapon fights, the mini boss or the side bosses. Yeah. It's, I mean, it still captures that, but it captures a decent sense of size. And that was one thing that it did do well, is give you some really massive bad guys. And, you know, have you work around, you know, positioning and things like that. Which was all right, for that kind of game, because it was the turn-based driven games, just like all the previous Final Fantasies, and it was not the action RPGs that the Final Fantasies really were after that, with the exception of 13, I think.
I'm going to say 12 wasn't really action-based. Honestly, all of them have been turn-based except for this last one. The newest one is the only one I can think of that really isn't turn-based. Like, 12 is totally turn-based. 13 and 13-2 weren't really... Here's what 13 was. It was you set up your moves and your conditions for the moves to happen, and put your controller down.
Let them do it. Yeah, exactly.
And like, you just basically set them up for, like... It was like writing a JavaScript. It was... You set up your and, if, and, or parameters, and then you just let it go, which to me is boring as fuck.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there watching a battle, and I know I was doing it wrong. I know that this boss doesn't take a half an hour to beat, but if you don't know how to beat the boss, it will take you a fucking half hour to beat, or more. And I sat there and watched that, watched as I was futilely taking 50s of health off of the boss over time. Fuck that shit.
Well, it's just like I'm playing 15 now, and there's been a couple of encounters where the enemies are so fast that, like, I'm literally getting one shot in and then getting one-shotted to where I have to heal again. And Final Fantasy 15 basically lets you get downed, and you can use a potion. Like, you could even, like, totally run away from battle and use the potion. But it's... It kind of auto-battles in the background with your characters, and then you just kind of jump in when you want to. But it seems like you're the only one that does a lot of damage, so...
Right.
Until you use everybody else's abilities, so it's kind of a... I don't know. It's been challenging on some of the combat. I'm still not very good at it.
Well, I would...
I actually just kind of put it on the side, because I wanted to play something else. I played so much of it over, like, a very short period of time that I had to just take a break.
Yeah.
And I tend to do that. I binge games sometimes, and then I end up being like, I gotta take a break, or I'm gonna kill myself.
Right. I think I hit that with Final Fantasy X, because I really kind of poop-socked it with the amount of time I had to play. And I would come home, and I would play it until probably an hour and a half past when I'm supposed to go to bed. And I would just... And I did that for, a short period of time. Yeah. And I got up to the point I'm at now, and I'm like, okay, well, I know what I can do, but I don't really want to put that many hours into it anymore. So I think I'm just going to finish the game out, because the ending of the game is kind of, but I do want to see at least load up Final Fantasy X-2 for just a minute or two. Because I never touched it before.
I never did either. Me and Trent's old roommate. Trent used to live in a band house, basically. So he had a room. Guitar player had a room. The bass player and keyboardist had a room. And the guitar player was this giant douche. I'm just going to say that. He was super douche. He could barely play guitar.
Super douche.
Played some pretty basic-ass guitar. And they had one other guitar player, John from Carousel, was in it. But John didn't live there. He was the only one that didn't live in the band house. And anyway, so like the super douche was the one that loved Final Fantasy X-2. And me and him would go, and they were like, oh, he's fucking playing that again. And I was associated with him and J-pop. So it was like J-pop plus the douchiest guy in this guy's band. one of my best friends, and he's the douchiest guy in the band. Nobody likes this guy. But he's in the band for some reason. But it's back when like kilts were like super popular for some reason, especially like the gothy kids. And so like the one super gothy kid in his band is like a half-ass guitarist. And I say half-ass because he played everything in drop D. And like, he used like four fingers, right? Well, I guess he had four fingers. He played like six chords. And he would, he wore like the kilt. He had long hair. And he would go like the full-on crazy-ass goth with everything. So just in my head, I was always like, God, he's like the douchiest guy in this whole band. So I associated with the guy that wore the kilts and loved J-pop and drop D, which is weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... Definitely,
I just can't.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't get past it.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to think of him the whole time and be sick to my stomach. He's such an asshole.
Now,
and he was really pretentious on top of it. It was just like, oh, fuck you.
See, because I'd never given it a chance before, and it kind of came free with the game that I really wanted to play, I said, I'll give it a go. If it, you know, if it rubs me the wrong way, I'm not out anything, because, you know, I really bought that package for Final Fantasy X, so I can move on to any other game.
I think, so this is really sad, I had a collector's edition that I bought of that for the PS4 remaster mm-hmm. that came out, and I ended up being super broke and really wanting Witcher 3, and I traded that in for a Steam card to play Witcher 3. Now, ultimately, Witcher 3 is a pretty damn good game.
Yeah, right.
Like, it could have been worse. I could have done it for Watch Dogs.
Well, so the original Watch Dogs.
I hear Watch Dogs 2 isn't half bad.
Right.
But, yeah, I could have done it for Watch Dogs, which would have been... Like, when I traded that game in, like, I was going to get rid of it or whatever, and it's like $2?
Yeah.
You're going to give me $2 for a PS4 game?
Ugh.
Fuck off.
Right.
Like, I know the game's not that great, but fuck off.
Right. No, it's trade-ins anymore. I can't do it. I would much rather give that game to somebody who hasn't played it, say, you know, merry freaking unbirthday, and here it is, play the game, and then pass it along to some other unfortunate soul that couldn't afford this game. That's what I would much rather do than take it to, you know, take it and trade it in anywhere. You know, I know I'm not going to be able to sell the damn thing, you know, and I'm not a Craigslister, so whatever. But I would much rather just give the gift of game to somebody else. And if they've already played that game, then, you know, I'll find somebody else that's already, you know, hasn't played it. You know, that's just the way that I think of it. I mean, I will wait the extra week or so to, you know, to get a game if I need to, if I don't have the money for it. I just won't trade them in anymore. It's just a ripoff.
So I was going to say, like, so some of the things I've been kind of getting through, like a pause to Final Fantasy 15. I can finish it in a couple days, and I'll finish it before the end of the year. Before we do another podcast, I'll have it finished. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get, I'm going to kind of talk about, like, possible candidates for Game of the Year, and we can kind of go into that for stuff for later.
Yeah.
Because I think in a month and a half, we'll be talking about it anyway, or maybe even less.
Right.
I've been playing a shitload of Pillars of Eternity again.
I noticed that.
And I've been playing it as a Cypher, which I gotta say was like the best class I've ever picked in that game.
Cypher, oh, that's the, that very unique class, isn't it?
It's a class they built for this game.
Yeah.
And it fits the story is like you're an awakened soul and you are kind of has this whole like reincarnation theme going throughout the whole game.
Right.
And it makes sense to have a really psychic character as your main character. Like, playing as a ranger doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right. Or a rogue, or a fighter, or, you know, maybe even a paladin. But like
bears, man, bears!
But Cypher, like, has these attacks, so, like, you build up a certain amount of power, and then you unleash a spell. And the spells are either single-target or multi-target. They're mostly single-target power attacks. And they're really fucking powerful. So, like, basically, I've spec'd them multiple different ways. Like, I set them up as a high dex class, and with high dex and high intellect, and medium might. And basically what happens is he either uses a rapier, so he gets in really close and stabs a bunch, or he's way in the back using a shotgun or a bow.
Right.
Or blunderbuss, basically, but it's a shotgun. The bow seems to be, I know the shotgun is the way that it's supposed to work, but I haven't had as good a luck as having a really fast bow. And basically every time you hit something, you get a point for one of your power attacks. And the power attacks are pretty powerful. So like I have this attack that I don't even know if it causes threat on me, but I cast it on my tank, and it's this big white light of energy that hits my tank, and it looks like he fucks the guy in front of him. Like this pillar of light shoots from his waist and into the other thing and knocks it back.
Freaking light penis. It's well, like it's my, like, your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yeah, but it's like it's weird. It's harder doing this with two people.
You, the things you write down, dude.
But it's a light penis. I can't put light penis in the
title. I know.
But it hits really fucking hard. So, like, the hardest that most of my other characters are hitting for is, like, 40 and stuff like this.
Right.
The light penis hits for, like, 80 right now. And so it's a really big attack, and it only costs, like, half my bar. And I can build the bar up pretty quickly. And I have another attack called, like, Psychic Scream or something like that. And I'll hit a character in the middle of a group, and then it does a shitload of damage on him, and then it radiates out to everybody else. I have another Shock Pulse one that hits a friendly with a bubble, and that bubble blows up and hits everything around it for shock damage. I even have, like, a homing missile that will hit one guy and then go all around hitting everybody else for, like, 30.
Oh.
And it does really fucking good damage, and it just... He's got stuff that will paralyze. He's got stuff that will mind control shit. He can do, like, a charm that's really, really powerful.
Huh.
But he's really, really good because, like, I've noticed with my mages, like, it's super positional.
Oh, God.
Until you get super high intellect where, you know, you don't hit all your characters with friendly AoE.
Right.
And it doesn't... He's so fucking squishy. Well, this guy, I can wear, like, medium armor, sit in the back and shoot my bow and do good damage with my bow. Like, he's got really fucking good damage. And then just, like, fucking annihilate shit with him. And, you know, I micromanage a little bit with him. It's not, like, a crazy amount. I'm doing active pause and then just setting up a few attacks and then letting it go for a second. But he just hits like a fucking truck.
Man.
And it's great. It's super great. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to get back in combat. It's going to be great. I'm not playing it. I started off playing that game on easy because it was really fucking hard.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually playing it on normal difficulty for once.
Oh.
And getting fairly far. The dragon fights are still really fucking stupid hard. I've hit a lot of places where you need a lot of elemental protection. Fortunately, I got spells for that. A priest has got some spells that help with some of that shit if you know when they're warming up to hit you with something. But I'm having a blast with it again. I'm just trucking through with my cipher and just blowing shit up. And it's so satisfying. You hit, like, a group with a really powerful AoE. Mm-hmm. Because it has, like, this little warm-up period. It hits them for some damage. You'll see the middle one pop, and then you'll see all the enemies around it pop. And they just, like, blow up into jibs. And it's just like, that's a really fucking great spell. I just screamed in their head, and they exploded.
But
you get zero experience for combat, which is weird for that game. So it's all based on the quests that you do. So I've played through a lot of the mainstay quests, and I want to get to White March because I never did that. There's White March Part 1 and Part 2. So, like, I still haven't done any of that shit, but you need a character that's, like, level 10 or higher. The old level cap was 12. My characters are, like, level 8 right now.
Okay.
So I've made some good progress. The level cap's now raised to 16. The only mods I added is there's, like, a sharpness mod for sharper detail.
Right.
An EMB that I added, or a reshade, basically, to help with the way that lighting's done. And I downloaded about 2,000 portraits for male and female characters.
That's right.
So it's just like, you know, like any of the other Infinity Engine games,
right,
or like Wasteland, like you can swap out the portraits or whatever.
The Wasteland portraits were pretty good.
Yeah, so that's like the only modding I'm doing to that. I'm not changing any of the base game. I want to just keep that fairly pure. Because I saw a mod that would do the turn the combat into XP, but the point of that game is if you can solve it smarter than doing combat, you actually get XP, or you just get XP for completing the quest.
Right.
So it does a really good job, I think, of like keeping you focused on what you need to be doing rather than grinding monsters.
Yep. But Pillars is kind of... It kind of goes back to the older style RPGs and the way that, you know, it's kind of like the Baldur's Gates.
The same guys that made Baldur's Gate are in on that.
I know that the
core team is the ones that did Icewind Dale.
Right. You know, so there's still a voiced story in it, and it's really good. But a lot of the meat of that game is you read it on screen.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reading.
There's a whole lot of reading. A lot of books. A lot of, like, figuring out puzzles and things like that from the shit that you read on notes and in books and whatever.
Right. So you have to kind of... It's not the kind of, like, Skyrim reading where you open the book, get the skill point, and close the book and never read the damn shit. You have to actually go through and read it. I know it's like early in the game, but there's the bells thing where you
can't just suss that out.
Right.
You have to pay attention to a vision.
Right.
The vision kind of tells you what to do. You have to pay attention to two different little
books
that you read that have to do with the prayer ritual.
Right.
And then once you figure that out, it's like, oh, this is the order that I chime the bells in to open the door. Or you can have a super high lockpick skill and go through it.
Right.
I'm stealing everything I can because that's the way to play this game. I'm aligning with a little bit different factions. Like, there's a whole thing lead up to, like, an army, like an actual battle that you have to have with some baron who wants to take over your keep. You've been expanding the keep slowly.
Of course.
I'm playing a little bit different, though, than I did before. Like, most of the time, I don't have a wizard in the party.
Mm-hmm.
I have the chanter, and then they've retweaked the AI on the on your party. Uh-huh. So you can set up different parameters for what they do if you forget about them. So, like, you can set the chanter up to be a summoner. And so once he gets up to three verses, he always summons skeletons, or he always summons dragons or whatever. And that's kind of how I play my chanter. I either play my chanter as an off-tank that sits back. I set him back with a pistol or a shotgun, shooting shit, and then setting up all the, like, because he does a lot of his chanting. He's like a bard, basically.
Right.
He sets up support spells for the party while he's in the back. And then if things get hairy, I've got him in plate mail. So he can, like, take his two-handed sword and then soak some damage. I actually set him up with a couple of deflection rings. And he sets up some pretty decent defense if my party gets overwhelmed in the back. So I have my two main tanks up front. I have my paladin, which is the one you recruit in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Edar, or whatever his name is, set up as my other tank. And Eldar or Edar or whatever the fuck his name is, he's so fucking tanky right now. Like, until he gets hit by, like, a crazy amount of magic damage, he pretty much deflects almost everything. So he's got a super high deflection skill. He can soak up to four targets at a time. And he's so fucking tanky. Like, he doesn't do shit for damage. But, like, he can just hold a line and let everybody else pick him off. And nobody else takes damage except for him. And then the paladin's pretty tanky. But she's got some extra spells to help her out. Or I'll switch her to a two-hand sword and let her start wailing on something doing damage while he just holds a fucking line. But I use those two. I use the priest. I use the chanter that summons shit on auto when I forget about it.
Right.
So, like, if I completely forget about it, he's set up to where he'll summon as soon as he has the ability to. Or you can switch it up and set him up to do, like, a support spell or something else when I'm going up against a difficult fight. But a good example is, like, if you're fighting a big-ass dragon, right? Mm-hmm. Dragon, I need him turned. So I don't need him summoning skeletons.
Right.
What I need the dragon to do is I need him to point the other direction away from the party.
Right.
It's just like playing World of Warcraft.
Exactly. It's the Anixia fight.
It's the Anixia fight. You take Eldar or whatever the fuck his name, and you spin the dragon around to where the ass is facing the party. You let him get all the fire breaths and everything else. And then you have your chanter summoning in, like, this minus defense, minus deflection spell, hitting the dragon every time it comes up. You have your priest hitting your tank with all sorts of defensive buffs, and then accuracy buffs to the rest of your party so you don't do all this grazing damage. And then you have your cypher hitting him with, like, the penis fuck from hell that just, like, he keeps hitting the tank, and you see the tank keeps fucking the dragon in the mouth. And, like, that's the way your fight goes. So, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I've gotten over a lot of the nuance that I didn't get before. Like, if you got a door, you know, I'm going to set up my two tanks on either side of the door,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to catch everything in between. Or I'm going to send my ranger up in stealth mode, have her place a trap, scoot back, have the tank, and I actually have my tank with a bow, pull everything.
Oh, shit.
Just like World of Warcraft.
Oh, my God.
Have them pull it in, and have them, I wish you could even set markers on stuff, have them pull the big old group of enemies into that kill zone, and then you have everybody else kind of, like, attacking in the middle. So I have my ranger with her dog, or I'll have my druid. So I've been alternating between the druid and the ranger. The druid does pretty good most of the time because he's got some huge area of effect spells that don't hurt your party. So he can do that, and he's got a wand that I gave him that's soulbound that does like a confuse or dominate. So he'll charm stuff about every 10th enemy he hits. With that wand. So he's very much a support character that has some pretty heavy AoE spells. And then there's my Cypher. He's my single target DBS that is just picking shit off.
Bears.
Yeah, bears. But yeah, the Ranger right now isn't super powerful. No. The Ranger is just really good at pinning something down and then keeping it away from the rest of the party.
And that's, and I think the first time I played it, I actually played a Ranger. And it didn't get very far because, you know, well, things happened. There was a lot of games that came out right around the same time as that. Yeah, that did.
Well, so it's coming off of Tyranny that, like, I was like, well, they made Pillars of Eternity, and that's a pretty solid game.
Right.
Tyranny's fairly short compared to Pillars. It's about a 35-hour game, where Pillars is very much not a 35-hour
game.
No,
it's not.
I'm 50 hours in again.
Jeez.
About to finish Act 2. Like, and it's three acts is the whole game, so it's, the third act's fairly long, too, but I'm in the town getting ready before the town changes. Getting every side quest I remember done, and then, like, I'm literally at that point right now where I can set the main story back in motion. And it does a good job of kind of, like, pacing it that way. Mm. That game's really fucking fun. I really like it. I mean, I've been on bereavement. I had a lot of shit happen. Mm. A family member of mine committed suicide, so I had, like, a bunch of shit go on, and I was like, I just need to step away from everything. So I've been just literally sitting in a room playing Pillars because it's very cathartic listening to podcasts and shit.
Yeah.
And Pillars is really fucking fun. But before I kind of get into, because we're going to kind of talk about a little bit of the things we think may be Game of the Year material.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you got back into 7 days again.
Yes, we did. Holy shit.
We've had some fun with that already.
Yes.
I'm like, we're actually doing the podcast a little bit early tonight so we can go back and finish this tonight.
Yeah, we were, oh man, we started playing yesterday evening, and I played, I was up for 21 hours that day, because I had gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning to, you know, to do work stuff, but I played until I could no longer function. By the time I was done last night, could I even complete a fucking sentence properly?
We got all the way up to the 6th day and 21st hour, ready for the 7th day to start.
Right.
Like, we have a pretty good starting base. Like, we reinforced a hut that was little more than just a hut when you got into it.
Right.
It didn't even have the second story started or anything. It was just like, here's this little bit of area with a hearth. It's like a...
It was one of the very
cabin
first...
in the woods.
Exactly. Now it's smaller than all the other houses that we've converted into bases.
This is really small.
This is tiny compared to all the other bases that we've done. And I mean, we've done some pretty fucking huge bases. This is a hut compared to that. And
well, we could. I mean, this conversion really just kind of just came out of necessity. You're like, I'm buying a house, and it always starts you by a couple of houses, right? Now. And I decided to go towards you and go to that hut. And then that hut is like on the edge of the burning biome.
Right.
It's a crossroads, basically.
But it's in the forest park.
The maple forest. Yeah. Yeah. Right next to the cabins by the lake.
Right.
And it's like it's smaller than the cabins by the lake. It's literally... If this was a house, how big would you say? What was the square footage?
Not very big. It was a one story with a collapsed second story. There wasn't really a second story to the place.
Right. We just built the attic up.
We had to rebuild the damn shit and reinforced it. But it was basically a one room cabin at the time. It wasn't even a bathroom.
If it's a cabin, it would have been like 200 square feet
at least. It's
like as big as like my living room.
Yeah, it's tiny. The first night we freaking hunkered down in a corner and we're like, well, we need to build up to the second story because I've got a bad feeling about this.
Well, and I forgot about the screamers. The screamers are like these ring girls,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a new addition to the game. And what they do, so like you had the spider zombies that used to kind of call out enemies, and now they don't really do it anymore. They've redone a lot of the animations. Spider zombies have a cooler animation now, I think.
Yeah, they crawl around. Yeah.
They crawl around a lot better than they did before. Before it was almost comical.
Yeah, they looked like dogs.
Right. They mocap somebody crawling around on their legs and or hands and feet, which is actually kind of cool. But the screamer zombies are this chick that as soon as she sees you, she screams, and about five or six zombies appear.
Right.
They spawn in, and if she screams a lot, like, more and more zombies will appear. So you have to kill her almost as soon as you see her.
Right.
But she is fucking creepy.
Yeah, she is.
She's really creepy, and then she got in the house that one night.
Yes, she did.
She got through the door in the house.
Like, and I'm sitting there with, like, freaking three arrows. I'm like, I need to hit you in the nose. I need to hit you in the nose. Pow!
Yeah, and we had like, what, like, we built up some boxes over the ladder entrance.
Yep.
And then as soon as I opened it up, you could see her crawling up. Like, she saw me, and she's like, I'm coming on up. And then I just had my club, and that's actually what killed her.
And I just kind of was aiming down the, you know,
the chute.
The chute there, and I'm like, one arrow, two arrow, and then she fell over. I'm like, did I kill her? Yay!
But we've gotten raped pretty hard in that game.
Yeah.
Like, there's been several nights we've been playing, let's say several nights in the game. The days are what, like 20 minutes long or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Like a full day's maybe an hour, I think.
Yeah. It's enough
Or 45 minutes, I think. I think it's 30 minutes a daytime and 15 minutes a night.
And it doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like that at all. You're
in a mad rush for those 30 minutes.
The way that
gameplay works is it's 30 minutes of rushing around doing something to do stuff at your base at night for 15 minutes.
Right. And you just gather as much shit as you can, come back, and then craft all night because you can't really survive on the ground outside. This has been my job for every game of 7 days since the first one. The first one, I stayed in the house pretty much all the time. And that was way early alpha. I was just the OCD dude that set up boxes. Everybody would dump all the shit that they'd collected into the boxes, and I would sort them. They put a sorting option in the boxes.
Which is actually pretty intelligent.
It is pretty intelligent.
Like, we put the gun parts in that one box, hit sort, and it sorts the gun parts by gun type.
And it stacks stuff, so if you've got duplicates, you don't have to, like, keep track of where you put something. You just hit the sort button, and it stacks it. I noticed that that water bottles stack higher now, too.
Yeah, empty water bottles.
Empty water bottles do stack.
I think they stack up to, like, 100.
Murky water bottles do as well. They stack up past 15, at least.
Yeah, it's not until you start making stuff that you should be drinking.
Right.
But, I mean, we've had some pretty rough experiences. I mean, there was a time, like, I built a lip on it for shooting, and then I fell down on the seventh day, the seventh night,
yes,
thinking I was going to die, and I fell on top of some zombie corpses, which meant that I didn't die on the spikes.
Right.
And so I fell on the zombie corpses, and then I must have fell in between a wave because there wasn't hardly anything out there, and I ran over I set up all these bonfires around it so I could see. And I ran around on fire because I ran over one of the fires. And then I had some wood frames on me, and I was like, fuck, I can nerd pull this. So I put a box down, and then I just jump up and build myself up and start shooting the zombies that are, like, coming after me. It's, like, very Benny Hill at this point.
It was. There was a point where he'd fallen down onto the ground, and I'm like, well, shit, you're dead. Fuck, this is going to suck now. I'm sitting there pinging things from the little shelf that we had built, and you walk over to the streetlight and basically stop, and I'm like, well, that's it. You were waiting to see whether or not zombies were coming after you, and they were still coming towards the house. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep their attention here. And he's like, well, fuck it, and starts building this tower in the middle of me, and right in front of me. I'm like, you're not going to be able to jump from there. And he realized that about halfway up, he's like, well, fuck, and starts shooting down, and the zombies, all I have to do is knock one box out from underneath, and it would just tumble.
Well, and they did, and
It did.
It wasn't high enough that, like, I took a few boxes out from underneath me because I realized that was going to happen.
Right.
So I didn't fall far enough to break my leg, which was really fucking lucky.
Right.
I think it was, like, at the very minimum, the max height that I could be.
Huh?
Really
close. There was a lot of oh fucks going on.
And then I was like, well, I can put some frames on top of the spikes. And it's like, fuck it. So I ran over and I put up a couple of boxes, jumped on them, and then built a little bridge over to the lift.
Yes. I can't believe you actually survived.
It was at the perfect time where things weren't coming.
Yeah, if you would drop just before. This had been like a
21st day horde, and there was every... Well, like right before that, we had probably 30 or 40 zombies hit our defenses.
Right. And they were coming. They just kept coming. Of course, at night they run, so it sucks because it's dark as fuck. I mean, we had the campfires out.
It would be a little bit brighter, and I guess it wasn't bright enough. We're going to have to set up some kind of, like, torch system so we can see everything.
Yeah, we need to set up, you know, like, torch pillars or something like that out there so that that we can see. But, I mean, there was you could see the fire, but it wasn't radiating any light around it outside of maybe one block around it. And it was just super dark. So we would see the zombie silhouette as it runs between the campfire and the house. And we're like, oh, there's another zombie. And you kind of shoot in the direction. And you just kind of hope that you hit them.
Well, we didn't really see them. Like, it was shining bright enough on the spikes. You could see them as they're hitting the spikes.
Right.
But I think the way the lighting system works, maybe we need to have it reflect onto the house or having them placed on the house itself.
Well, we're going to put...
I think we're just going to line the house with torches and then line it with, like, pillars of torches all around.
Our house is a beacon. It's pretty much, you can see it from, you know, the maximum view distance. You can see. Yeah, somebody lives there. There's fucking torches everywhere. I'm surprised the place hasn't burnt down by now.
Well, then we had I think I had a pretty good idea. The idea that I had that nothing has gotten past so far was putting those reinforced wood trunk tips that, from what I remember from reading a lot of forums, because I've put almost 500 hours into this game, is that you can put these trunk tips right next to a structure, and until the trunk tip is destroyed, they can't hit because they keep getting interrupted, basically. So that's why I said, go ahead and put the metal tip ones all around the house.
Right.
Because that's really what matters. We'd probably get eventually overwhelmed if we just had those. That's right. Why the other spikes are important. But I almost feel like you're almost safe enough with just that.
It's possible. I mean, for every 7-day horde, we have to add another 2 or 3 layers for the disposable spikes, which have changed since the last time I played.
I know, it's like 100 wood a piece, and they used to be like 10.
10, yeah. And they used to not last. I mean, one zombie could knock down 2 sets of those. Now...
They have like 5 stages of destruction.
Right.
So, which makes sense why they're more expensive.
Well, that and they slow a whole lot more than they did. And do a whole lot more damage than they did. The zombies will kind of stack up on top of them. You know, so...
It's almost like they just kind of like slide over the top of each other until they...
There was points where the freaking zombies were swimming through guts. At the edge of the spikes.
Which is actually kind of funny.
It was kind of funny, yeah. But
they've done a lot with the animations, too. It's just like when they're running, if you could get a shot in, like a headshot or something. Like, they now stagger pretty well.
Yeah, they do. Oh,
like
my God.
They'll stagger, like, almost like they're about to slip or fall or whatever. And it's like you hit them in the head and they, like, almost fall over.
There was one time where I actually pinged a zombie in the forehead with the crossbow bolt. And... it was like an action movie freaking death. It was weird. Like, their head flew back, you know, fast enough that their legs flew up over, you know, over top of themselves, and then they just kind of, you know, fell over dead. I'm like, that's the kind of overacting you see in bad action movies.
Right.
That was just what happened right there. Of course, you've still got the heads that explode and stuff, but one of the things is that now shots matter. You can shoot a zombie in the leg, and they will stumble.
Yeah.
And if you shoot them enough, their leg will fall off, and they'll end up having to crawl towards you. If you shoot their arm, their arm could fall off. Well, your arm's off.
Right. We've seen places where we thought they were dead, and... Like, their leg was blown off, or, like, you just assume they're dead, and, it just keeps crawling.
Yeah, it's trying to gnaw at your toes there.
But they've done a decent amount of work to it. I mean, is it complete? No, there still seems like there's some memory leaks and some weird...
There are, and the client-to-client multiplayer stuff suffers a little bit of... I want to say that it's, I don't think it's, you know, Netflix or anything that's going on with your, you know, your internet speed. You've got pretty decent internet here, and we've done this before.
I was looking at the ping when it was. I didn't see your ping was 34.
Yeah.
So your ping was fine. I just think that as it was loading stuff up in RAM on my computer, or it was paying attention to where you were at versus where I was at, it was running into issues.
Okay. Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's loading stuff for you.
I know my internet's fucking spot on.
Oh, mine is too.
I did that shit myself, so I know.
And there's been weird rubber banding. I've watched you run in place for a second and then zoom off 30 feet in one direction.
One point where I thought, man, I'm doing rather well. I'm backing up. I'm shooting, you know, shooting my bow at the zombie. All of a sudden, I'm dead. Just like that. He comes up and he beats me in the face like 18 times. Boom. Dead. Like, well, that happened.
Well, it's like, there's a lot of other things. Like, I thought I'd be wise and make, like, some blunderbusses, but you're like the guns that shoot rocks, and we thought it would be okay.
Yeah, no.
They need to rebalance that gun because it sucks ass.
Yeah, it does. I mean, like, 4 shots for a basic zombie.
And then you gotta load it like a fucking musket. Like, it's cheaper to use a fucking bow and arrow.
At that point, you get more damage out of a bow and arrow. And, I mean, of course, crossbows are the way to go if you're gonna do any type of basic ranged weapons. But that's still kind of mid-tier as far as weapons are concerned. You have to have a forge, you have to have a lot of iron, you have to, you know, to be able to make glue, which requires a beaker, now, so that's
you can loot glue off the zombies sometimes, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's interesting, neat little tiers that they put into the, you know, put into this, and they've been refining it over the time. I remember the first iteration.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any of that. You know, it was...
You can craft everything.
You can craft everything. And...
Now you just find a book and then you learn how to craft.
And there, you know, while I was initially kind of skeptical about how they're going to do the leveling and the skill points and things like that in the game, it makes sense. You know, so...
It gates different things and how fast you build. Like, right now, decent at building stone axes, and I can actually harvest a tree with a stone axe fairly efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Not as efficient as a fire axe, but if that's all I got,
yeah,
I can still build shit.
Yeah, and I think that maybe the stone axe is... I think that you're going to see it jump a bit more. What the problem is right now... Oh, fuck off. Damn windows and shit. What the situation is now is that you are using your construction tool. That's the stone axe is a construction tool.
Right.
And you're leveling that up, and it does do, you know, give you block damage as part of the skill, I think.
Yeah, it has to.
Okay, I think at least a little bit. But the quality of that stone axe keeps going up.
Yeah, because you keep recrafting it.
But... The that's going to be a diminishing return after a bit, because the iron axes that I'm creating are for mining tools, and it gives you a greater block damage bonus.
It does, and it also gives you more yield.
Well,
so like you're getting more out of a tree if you use a fire axe than you are if you're using a stone axe. A stone axe I'm just using out of like, oh, I don't want to use all of this fire axe for this. I'm going to use it for this.
Well, use the fire axe, because what I ended up doing is, you know, I tend to be, now that my OCD-ishness is gone with the sorting, the last few games that I've been playing, I've been the dude that goes underground, and my existence is underground almost all the fucking time. So it's rare that I get to actually see the light of day, because I'm normally down there pounding on fucking rocks. That's just, I love being able to build stuff in the forge. So having a steady stream of iron and all the other minerals that you can get underground is important. You know, so I'm the tool builder.
Right. And then, well, we eventually want to get to where we're like mid to high level tier pretty soon. So.
Yeah.
This house isn't going to last forever. I just think it's a really good base till day 21, maybe.
What's going to end up happening is what we have happened in the last game that we did.
It's going to be a castle.
And we're going to end up building a freaking, the very last game we played, we had the two-story house, and we built a four-high concrete wall around it. And we set that up as the perimeter around that and set up a drawbridge. And I really want to see the drawbridge because I think there's a drawbridge in the game. There's catwalks in the game. There's all kinds of new tiles and new blocks that you can put down. So I really want to see some of these.
Well, and that's going to come with us building a moat.
Yes. I want to build a moat.
Be lots of digging.
I really don't want to build onto a road, though. That sucked so bad last time.
Yeah, because you can't get through it.
The freaking concrete or the asphalt roads, they're stronger than concrete blocks. And
well, I got an idea on that. We'll discuss it after this, but
you're going to use that as a base for the spikes, aren't you?
Well, we'll use the concrete road as the footer for the wall.
Of course.
Because you can use it on two sides, and then they can't dig through that shit.
That sounds fantastic.
So that road or that corner of the road we'll use for the footer of the wall, we'll only have to dig through one part of that road. Now, that's going to be a bitch. That one spot of road that we have to dig through will be a bitch.
Mm-mm. Not doing it. That's all you.
That's, yeah.
You can sit there and pound on that shit all fucking day. I did that once. Fuck that shit.
So
that's no fun.
There may be where that'll be like the last project is destroying the road.
We do, because we're right at a crossroads there.
You're just going to have to cut one spot of road there and then one spot of road here.
For why? The way I'm seeing it is that's flat ground where those two roads meet. Use that as the corner for your, for the box.
But you're still going to have to cut through when the box turns.
Not so much. I don't think so.
Right, but here. I'll just draw you a map.
So oh, my God, a map.
So here's our road, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to cut through that spot, and you're going to have to cut through that spot, and you're going to have to cut through that spot, because your wall is going to be like that, right?
Right. Oh, so for the moat, you mean?
Yeah, for the
moat. Okay, gotcha. All right, I understand what you're saying now for the moat.
Right, the moat's going to have to go through.
I'm looking at the I wasn't thinking moat when you were saying that. Gotcha. Okay.
The moat's going to have the spike trap.
Oh, sure. Hopefully, by that time,
we'll have an auger.
We'll have an auger.
Because I'm not going to dig that with an axe.
Fuck that shit.
Fuck that. So, that's a lot of 7 days to die.
Yeah.
You guys can see that, like, this is a janky game.
It is.
In a lot of different ways.
And it's got a bad rap on the consoles. If you played it on consoles, it's not the best on the consoles.
But it takes them like 2 months longer to patch things on console because of having to get things approved with Xbox and PlayStation. But it's been doing better. If you go to if you look up 7 Days Dev Blog, you'll see them talk about the console port stuff that they're putting out.
Yep.
But they are, every time they do something on this game, they don't completely change something, they just add to it.
Right.
And it's not, like, if you look at Alpha 1.
Oh, God. 1, I can't even recognize that game anymore.
It's almost like, it looks like Minecraft. Let's just be honest. It looks almost like Minecraft. Like, everything was tiered with boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Your terraced areas were boxed because it was with cubes.
Well, the only difference...
And they smoothed out the terrain.
Right.
And they use voxels, so everything's diamond-shaped now.
Right.
Which is kind of hard to wrap your mind around when you're digging.
Yeah, well, so all of the structures you build are boxes. Right. They're cubes. And the ground is a diamond-shaped voxel. And it's very literally a diamond shape.
Yeah.
Going underground, I had to learn this. I had to learn this voxel pattern going and digging underground because it can get kind of crazy down underground as far as where you're going. But if you're going in a cardinal direction, north, south, east, west.
Right. That's how you stay centered.
You will stay centered on a voxel at one point. You'll just point straight north or point straight east and you hit straight in front of you and you will see your diamonds. And that will help you create a labyrinth. And I'm good at building a labyrinth underneath fucking ground. where you need an actual fucking map to get through that shit. There was points where you went down into my mine, having not seen that mine in freaking days and days and days. And it's like, I'm going to help you mine. I'm like, all right, let's see if you can find me. I got a, you know, I had to set up a torch path to get, you know, to get people to the right spots. And I put a torch at every intersection so that you can kind of figure out where to go.
Well, and you can make signs and things like that now. But, like, it's just, this game is continues to get more and more elaborate. It's been fun playing with it. Because I think every time we play this, I still have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
We discover new things and new recipes and new things that they've added or new blocks, just like this drawbridge thing that I think we got to make.
Oh, yeah. And the catwalks, man. You set the, you know, the shooting platform up for it, and I'm like, man, why didn't you use the catwalk? Because I wanted to see that.
I didn't even
that.
Think about the catwalk at that point. At that point, I was literally thinking, we're coming up on day 6. I have to have a platform up there because I need things not being able to crawl up our building and jump in the windows. So, because there's zombies that can crawl up buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a lip. If you have a lip, they can't get over the lip.
Right.
So I created a lip really quick with frames and filled it in.
There was nothing, and I doubt we'll ever get the epicness that we did at one point. That one point when we built the actual fucking concrete castle. Game lasted for many, many, many in-game days, and we started off in the plains area. We built into one of the two-story stores there. Built a bridge to the other store and built that one up too. And then we decided, fuck it, we're going to build a castle from scratch using reinforced concrete. And it's going to be massive. I still have the fucking screenshots to prove it.
Yeah, that was a pretty fucking big area.
That was huge.
And it was pretty impenetrable too.
There was nothing could get through that. We had log spikes, which was the high damage spikes at that time. We had metal tipped log spikes at least 10 to 15 rows deep at any one point. I freaking nerd pulled up and took a picture from like on high, you know, focusing the camera down, and it looked like the way that I had that, you know, set up, it looked like a freaking computer chip. It did. It looked awesome. But I had that measured out, so it was a perfect square. It was double-walled.
Yeah, it was double-reinforced concrete, which was pretty fucking thick. And I've seen some different ways to do that. I'm going to, you know, I'll bring some of those up when we're gaming.
Yeah.
I mean, now they have arrow slits and all sorts of things. We're going to get pretty nutty with this.
Yeah, it's,
man. Like, we may even take out the whole bottom row of that room and arrow slit the whole thing all the way around. So you could shoot out at the zombies as they're hitting the spikes.
That's nice. I think that'd be great. I like it.
Or we'll just build a jail cell on the bottom and you can shoot through the bars.
There we go.
But that being said, I think it's time for a break. And I think what we'll do on the next section, because let's just be honest, folks. End of the game, end of the year, you're going to have the quote-unquote game of the year stories by all the different outlets. And we're not really doing it the same way they are. We'll come up with our own system. But we'll talk a little bit about what's on our radar for Game of the Year, what we have to finish up, and I think we'll wrap up tonight.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be back.
All right.
It's just us. It's been a fun day.
Me and Rusty are looking at base design ideas for 7 days to die. Indeed. That's what we're going to be doing after this.
It's going to be, oh man, I don't know what jazzes me up about this game so much. And it was really the very first crafting game that you and I played together, and really I did ever. Outside of, I've never played Minecraft.
Yeah, it's kind of Minecraft-like. I think it's way deeper than Minecraft in certain ways.
Yeah, see, I don't think I could play Minecraft right now.
Minecraft is deeper on, you can basically make simple circuits with it.
Yeah, and that shit, cool. I mean, like, people actually playing video games or making a working Game Boy, I saw that.
Right.
Wow. You have way too much time on your hands. Way too much time on your hands. I can definitely appreciate your genius, but damn.
Right.
And there's easier ways to do that.
Right. It's like the most ass-backwards way to do something. But it doesn't have that, but like the amount of materials and shapes that you have with 7 days, and the more realistic, I say realistic, it's not realistic at all.
Zombies, real, yeah!
And the fact that it's zombies that you give a damn, it's really not that it's zombies, I think it's just that you have to survive oncoming enemies while you do it. Because, I mean, you know, the hornets aren't zombies, right? You know they're going to add a vulture enemy.
Because reasons.
Right.
Because that needs to happen. The
dogs weren't bad enough. I mean,
fucking dogs. Fuck those dogs.
Like, they have lots of crazy things in the game as it is. I mean, there was that point where you decided to go way out in that one area that went after a supply drop, and it ended up being like 2 miles from the house. And I had like no anything with me to survive. Like, I didn't have any food or water. So I had to drink like uncleansed water.
He had to drink his own urine. He was flinging human poop over his shoulder.
Well, like, it has this symbol that is basically diarrhea. It's an ass and a very nicely shaped poo.
It's got the mom bathroom symbol.
Yeah. And it's, you get that if you drink dirty water. And what it does is it drains your stamina constantly. It also drains your wellness, which is your overall hit points.
Right.
Meaning, like, every time you eat something or consume something that increases max wellness, it'll increase you by 1 overall hit point. So you start off with 100 with a max of 200.
Right.
And you can get up to 200. It just takes for fucking ever. But, like, every time you get dysentery, you might lose 1 or 2 overall total hit points. And you're talking about a game that's going to last you a million years. And when you die, you lose 10 overall hit points, so you really shouldn't die.
Down to a minimum of, I think, 50.
Yeah, something like that.
And you can raise that up with certain skills. If you can actually raise that up higher, where your maximum is higher and your minimum is higher, so that if you die, you'll get down to 60 or 70, depending on your skills. So there's that. Just don't die. That seems like a good strategy.
But, yeah, we were looking at base building ideas and different things that we were going to try to figure out. I think we're going to...
The gravity trap.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to take us way too much time.
Just from what I was talking about earlier...
I think a 5-foot is enough. Like, four cubes across and 5 deep is about as much as I want to dig. That's like a whole day. A whole real day.
Well, there's a couple other things that I've run into. Building square boxes on a diamond-shaped ground voxel, you're going to have indentations in places. It's not going to look as pretty as it shows. I don't know what they did or how they did it. Previous
versions.
Yeah, it doesn't line up like that so much. I mean...
You actually can line it with materials.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you have to do it.
And that's what is going to end up having to happen.
Will be lined with cobblestone.
Yes. Because I'm not doing fucking concrete. Fuck that shit.
Not that much concrete.
And you can upgrade... Can't you upgrade cobblestone to concrete?
Eventually.
I think so.
So we could start with a wood pit now. We're going to start with a cobblestone pit. Or something.
Right.
Something that looks pretty. But...
I like it.
Moving along. Things and stuff. So there's. I had this idea. Me and Rusty probably play the most games in the cast. And Jason will definitely have his input later, but we're going to start off with this. Ideas for Game of the Year discussion. And what we're going to do, because again, is there news right now? Probably a tiny, tiny bit.
Right.
I don't feel like it's worth a discussion right now.
No, that's not
between
really.
The two of us. I think what I want to do is I want to just talk about what our ideas are for games of the year that are going to immediately jump to mind. And I'm not even doing a top 5. We're going to do a top 3 apiece.
Okay.
It's going to give us 6 games to talk about for just a few minutes.
Right.
And we're going to list off why we think this might even be an idea or a contender for a game of the year of sorts. So, without further ado, Rusty, do you want me to start with me or you?
Go for it.
Me?
Yeah, I know right what you're going to go for.
Tyranny.
Oh! Oh!
was most unique CRPG that I've played in a long time.
All right. Okay.
You know how, like, a lot of people were going ass over tea kettle over, like, Undertale being a unique RPG, and I just didn't click with me?
Right.
Don't think it's a bad game. I just wasn't having that much fun. Tyranny is one of those games that I had a lot of fun playing, and it is the only game I've played as a total asshole and enjoyed myself.
Hey, that was an achievement. We actually applauded you for being an asshole for once in a video game.
So it applauds you for playing you got to play smart, though. I mean, you can't be a dumb asshole. Like, you have to be a smart asshole.
True.
But it's the only time I've played a CRPG, you know, where I had a lot of fun doing that. The choices seemed like they mattered. I wasn't really high on the ending, because the way that game ends is it has a loading screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've played New Vegas, right?
Yeah.
You remember the very end of that, how it just kind of lists out all the things that happened because of what you did?
Right.
It does that. It's a loading screen, and I think I'm going on to another fight, and it's in the game. And it tells all the things that happened. So I don't really like how it ended into another game, basically.
Right.
But either way, I had a lot of fun being an evil character, and it was dark in places, and it made sense in places, and it just had a lot of unique ideas. Spellcrafting was pretty cool. The environments were really cool. The graphics were decent, but it was an Infinity Engine game.
Right.
A top-down isometric RPG, and they weren't using sprites, but, you know, they had 3D models for the characters and stuff like that. The backgrounds looked really good. The map looked really good, and the storytelling was really good, and I was really into it. I poop-socked that game in, like, 3 days.
You did.
35 hours, for me, is a good length game, and it didn't feel like I was grinding anything. The issue... I'll tell you one game that may not make it in there.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, that's going to drop off the list. Okay.
It may drop off the list. And the reason it might drop off the list, the more that I'm realizing it, is I'm having to grind more than I want to. Now, there is...
It's a Final Fantasy game.
That's a staple for the series.
Right.
Is it fun? Yes. Is it as good as Tyranny? They're kind of apples and oranges, but kind of not. It's... Tyranny has side quests, but everything you're doing is moving you along.
Right.
Every single thing is moving the story along in little ways. Your side quests matter to the main story. Everything matters to what you're doing, for the most part. Almost everything you do plays a part in the end. All those little decisions you made have some kind of effect on the very end game. I don't feel like the stuff you're doing in Final Fantasy has an effect on the end game aside from more XP.
Right. And that's
pretty much... I'm not really fleshing out the characters. There hasn't been a lot of... Now, this is going to prove me wrong at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to a point where I felt like I had side quests to flesh out the secondary characters of the area.
And that's pretty much the way that Final Fantasy really goes. Well, some Final Fantasies. There are some Final Fantasies that do a really damn good job of actually fleshing out a side character. I don't know. I mean, most recent Final Fantasy game that I played is 10, of course, and it just seems like the character Lulu, for instance, right. Doesn't really get fleshed out very much at all. She's just like the spellcaster with lots of emo belts.
Right.
So, I mean, I really wanted to see more of her story rather than just kind of like her reacting to things. I just wanted to see what she could do. And Final Fantasies kind of had that pitfall. There's more story there that just don't explore it, and they don't explore the individuals as much.
Well, and that's just, I felt like a lot of the characters in Tyranny have a point.
Right.
And I felt like the factions had a point. There was a lot of open-ended story, whereas you could do this, this, and this. You could align with these factions that would have changed this while this game goes out. Two major factions, several minor factions, and it all really fleshed out well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, from a point of, like, thinking how that all fits together, how somebody can take something that Choose Your Own Adventure and make it a cohesive whole that works,
yeah.
And it is fun, and it's playable, is a video game. You know,
right.
And doesn't get boring. Like, I feel like that's an accomplishment on its own. And it's just, with the way that that's written out, it was some really smart writing, and I found out it's like three or four writers. I actually thought it was a Josh Sawyer game. It turns out it's not. Which Josh Sawyer being, you know, infamous for a lot of the older Obsidian RPGs, usually really like his stuff. He's a really decent writer. But yeah, it's like three different guys in Obsidian that wrote that game that were the narrative leads for how everything was going to fit together. They did a really fucking fantastic job. If Divinity 2 had come out this year, that might be another strong contender because of the gameplay, but not necessarily the story. Divinity 1's story is kind of all over the place.
Right.
But the gameplay on it's fucking solid as shit.
Yes.
That spell system is fucking amazing.
Right.
So that's one of mine. It's just, it sticks in my head really hard. I don't think it's going to be on a lot of people's lists because I don't think a lot of people play it. I found out about it because I follow Obsidian on Facebook. Said, oh, we got an upcoming game in a week. It's called Tyranny. Have you heard about it? I was like, what? What?
What is this
game?
The
same guys that made Pillar of Eternity are making another one?
Yes, please.
And it's already about out? Yes. And then I bought it day one and not sad about the purchase.
Yeah. I haven't actually touched it, but man, it sounds like it would be. It sounds.
It's pretty fantastic. It's pretty top notch. So if I was going to say like a game that just snaps to your mind that you played this year that is. Has to make it on your list. What would you say?
Doom.
Yeah.
I gotta say, taking Doom back to its roots and getting rid of, getting rid of the whole jump scare horror shit from Doom 3 and, getting into the strafe gunplay that was, so key back in the original Dooms and in the original first-person shooters, the way I see them. And being able to, it's just kind of, the music got you into the freaking action. It had really great audio cues for a lot of the moments in there. And
it's the second game I ever bought a soundtrack for.
Yeah, it's freaking, it's a really great soundtrack. So, for those people out there, I don't play the multiplayer on that, so I can't really comment on the multiplayer.
I've heard it hasn't been the best, but the single player was where the focus was.
Right, and that's where it's classic id. It's and it's right.
It's pretty fucking hard too.
It's
like you screw up once and you die.
Yeah, and I mean that's not on even the hardest.
Several levels of difficulty.
There's several levels of difficulty.
I'm actually at a point where I think I might start over to get into that groove.
Yeah,
that game. The only reason I haven't finished it is I almost feel like I have to start it over because you get to such a level. Anxiety is not the right word, but your heartbeat is thumping so fast.
It's twitchy.
It's intense. It's like playing match after match after match of Street Fighter, but yeah. Like you're playing for $1 million.
Right.
Like it's just
it's really good.
And it's really intense. And it's really intense.
Yeah, and some of the fights and some of the in the arenas that you fight him in, one of them really comes to mind as a boss that I really freaking loved that boss.
So I'm glad that you're finally playing it.
Yeah. So
now you're regretting the fact that you didn't play it.
Well, I mean, I played it. It was off and on, and as soon as and I didn't get it right when it came out because reasons. But yeah, I was playing that, and I got into it. It was really, really good.
Did you beat it?
I am really close to the end there, but I got sidetracked with getting a job. So
that's kind of where I'm at too. Like I think you can finish it in probably about 20 hours.
Yeah, and it's really it's short, but it's a joy, dude. It's a real joy, and of course the throwbacks to the original game with the secret areas and
being secret levels.
Yeah, the secret levels. If you can find the little levers that you to pull to open up the door to bring you back to the retro levels, those were freaking amazing. Nice little throwback to the old days. The gunplay is there. I'm not necessarily a big fan of how they did the gun upgrades, but I mean, in a game where you've got an alternate fire, a primary fire, and there is no reload button whatsoever.
There's no reload button or no iron sights. Iron sights is alternate fire.
Exactly. You just kind of do what you need to do. It's very satisfying to pull out the freaking...
the chainsaw to get your ammo.
Chainsaw is really great. Especially if you find a big fucking demon and you one-shot that bitch with all three fucking, you know, all three levels of your chainsaw. So, there's that.
It's kind of like your summon.
Yeah, it's really good. but I gotta, you know, the thing that sold me on the game was the first 3 minutes. The first three minutes of that game, when I sat out here and saw you load up a new game and, you know, it started trying to do the freaking whole, you know, this is a story, and the freaking Doom guy goes, fuck that shit. Just rips the fucking screen and throws it away, and freaking, you know, I'm like, that is what I expect. That's what I want from a Doom game. Fuck the whole story shit. I don't want the creepy fucking corridor with the jump scares and shit. I want go out into an arena and beat the piss out of things. I want to see body parts fly. And this game delivers.
It delivers pretty hard. So I think that's a really solid choice. That's going to be one of those things that I'm thinking about too. I know it's some of this is a little bit easier for me too, because I was throwing stuff like Giant Bomb does a vote for your favorite games of the year thing, and that's actually one of the ones I threw in mine.
Right.
But we'll have to flesh this out later. This is just kind of our initial reactions, because yes, we've played almost everything. The only two things that I have to play before I do this, if I can help it, is Last Guardian and Hitman.
Yeah.
And when I play those, that'll kind of solidify everything. But I don't know that Last Guardian is going to be really up my alley right now. So, which is surprising. I love Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. It just, we'll see. But, and then Hitman, I keep hearing, the more I hear about it, people actually loving this.
Uh-huh.
Even though it was episodic.
Even though I dogged it fucking hardcore at the beginning of the year.
I keep hearing one of our other casts talk about it. I say other casts. One of the other casts kind of helped us out. No Quarters, Mackie's been streaming the shit out of it. So I need to try it out before the end of the year.
Yeah. I gave it shit, not because it's a Hitman game, because of the episodic. Yeah. The episodic release was just, you can buy it on a disc now. Well, that's great. And then that's fantastic. Why didn't they do that the first time?
I don't know.
See, and that's the thing. If the game was complete with all of its missions and put on a disc and given to the players to play, go for it. I'm perfectly fine with any other game that does that. You know, but you only do the first missions and say, we promise to give you more missions later. Fuck that shit. No, I want to buy a complete game. I don't want to buy your episodes. And I do that with every game that comes out in episodes. I wait till all the episodes are out.
I have to.
So.
Same thing with the Batman episodic release. Right. I'm going to wait till that's done.
You know, all the Telltale games. If I played any Telltale games, it's when all the episodes are out. And I'm still kind of sour about the fact that, you know, Wolf Among Us kind of leaves off with a little bit of a hanger, and I haven't heard anything more about a second set of episodes for that.
Well, be that as it may, there are other things to talk about. One of the ones that I'll bring up that nobody else has played. Guess it.
Dark Souls 3. Dark Souls 3. That's why I... Dark Souls. All right, so I got that out of my way. I said... All right, so I was surprised you didn't say that first. That's why I said, oh, shit, because
it's...
Damn.
Well, it's good.
It's good.
It's a throwback to a lot of the older games. And it came off of me playing Bloodborne. Like, I wanted to finish Bloodborne at some point, but Bloodborne is the very hardest of all of those games by an incredible amount. Like... If Dark Souls is a steady 7, Bloodborne takes it up to 11 in difficulty. It is the very hardest Souls game. It's a spiritual successor, and I get that. But it is really difficult to a frustrating level at some point. So, like, for me as a Souls player, being able to go through those games and beat them, that's an achievement. It's on its own.
Right.
Because they're fairly hard. But Bloodborne is stupid hard, and I played that again this year and then stopped again. And I'll get back into it. But it's one of those games that, for me, to feel like I'm doing anything, I have to go through each level like 27 times, learn all its ins and outs before I go to the boss, because I feel like a wuss. And I need guides and strategy and all sorts of stuff, because it's super fucking hard. And I've had an incredibly hard time. I've never gotten past, like, 7 or 8 bosses in Bloodborne.
Man.
Whereas Dark Souls, I've beat all of them. And Dark Souls 1, I've beat, like, 4 times.
I couldn't beat the fucking... the one time I played Bloodborne, I played it for 5-10 minutes. Before I sat down the controller, looked at... I think it was... Was it here? I don't remember. Had to have been here. I set the controller down and said, no, if you value your controller or your walls, you will not let me play this game. Well, and it was the freaking, it was the very first enemy, the wolf.
Well, you're not supposed to really beat him.
I know, but I tried and I died.
You can punch him.
That's it.
And you can axe punch him, and that's pretty much it.
And that's it.
And there's a way to, you can actually beat him, but you have to die before you discover the dream and can level up and all that stuff. But anyways.
Gotcha.
Like, even like the Gascione boss, which is a guy with a shotgun that is essentially another hunter just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Is stupid fucking hard. You almost have to cheat to beat him. Like, I just... It's like you mess up like 5 or 6 times total and you're toast. And it's just... I haven't played a Souls boss that's that fucking hard. So, you know, you can usually... Like, you can cheese a little bit in some of the Souls bosses, but I usually don't do the cheese guide. I just try to figure it out and then do it. And 3, moved faster than the other Souls games, wasn't as block dependent. A lot of the shields had some drawback where you couldn't just completely tank your way through it, so you still had to, like, lightweight your way through it. There wasn't poise, so that was kind of broken. But overall, it, like, had really good boss design. There are a lot of areas you re-explored and reopened up that were better. I had an incredible time with that game, and I really, really enjoy Dark Souls 3.
It's
definitely better than 2, and it's better than even Scholar of the First Sin Edition. Like, all the editions of 2, 2 does the one thing that 2 did that most people didn't like, and I agree with, is it's designed on a spoke. You have a central area, and everything goes out in different directions. 1 is a tower, essentially. That's how the world's built.
And you got
you go all the way up, and then you go all the way down. And then with 3... It's kind of the same way. There are optional dungeons when you go all the way down, and there are optional dungeons when you go all the way up. And so you go up, and you basically go down. You go all the way down, then you unlock an area to go, let's just say, left, and then up through a tower and up into the next area. And you basically, it's the same kind of idea. You got to do these things. You got to unlock. You got to beat these 4 or 5 bosses or whatever it is, and then you can fight the final boss. And it explains the story a little better than the other ones, and the combat, it's better than it's ever been, and the weapons are really fucking cool.
Yeah.
The points it has against, like, Bloodborne out of all those games is honestly the weakest link with the most stylistically cool shit. Like, it had the very best weapons, but there's only, like, 25 of them.
Right.
Dark Souls 3 has, like, 200 weapons. Like, there are all sorts of different things and all different ways to specialize in different attacks. The magic's way better. Like, everything's better, and it's easy to kind of multi-class a little bit and be somewhat of a hedge wizard of sorts. Like, I'm a pyromancer, and a knight at the same time. So I light my weapons on fire. I do have a handful of fire spells that are defensive, and I just, like, blunt force trauma my way through everything. And I had a hell of a time doing it. So Dark Souls 3 is definitely at the top of the list and something I can think of just that fast, and I remember exactly everything I like about that game.
Right. Jeez. How to top Dark Souls.
No, you only have 2 more games.
Oh my god. Well,
games you can think of, like I said,
right off the top of my head, XCOM 2.
Oh, we're almost at a tie there. That's a good game.
It's a really good game. And it was... It improved upon all, you know, the XCOM, it improved upon XCOM Enemy Within, and expanded on the, you know, the tactical gameplay of that. It's just a really, really great game, and it's a lot of, it takes a lot of the best points from the previous XCOM and just makes them better. It has been a minute since I finished that game because it came out early in the year, but I just remember, you know, sitting down and absolutely enjoying every bit of it. And the mobile base was kind of neat, with the ability to, you know, where you have to kind of go and put out one fire, but there's like three or four fires popping up at any one point, so you can't really save the world.
Right.
You know, the world is going to burn at some point, you know, and I remember the first XCOM, you did everything that you possibly could to not lose a country, you know, on the, you know, from the coalition. It's not possible to save everybody, and it kind of drives that home.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it either.
Right. You know, the world has been taken over by aliens, and you are the last bit of resistance. And of course you're trying to, you know, to help the little resistance pockets that are popping up, but those fights suck, you know, where you have to go and try to save as many of the resistance people as possible. And of course there's the freaking, the alien that looks, you know, like all of the, you know, it takes on everybody else's shape. It's basically like the freaking putty monster. You remember the putty monsters from the...
Yeah, they were pretty rough.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I'm going to save you. No, you're going to turn into a fucking putty monster right next to me. Jesus Christ, why? Why me? And it would always be like... It'd always be that one dude I thought was, all right, I'm going to go save him real quick. I'm going to save him real quick and move on to the next one. No, he's going to turn into a monster and take out one of my dudes. Fuck. And of course... The bigger draws to, you know, to the XCOM is when you can name your name the team and get them all, you know, skilled up and, you know, badass. And of course it really, really sucks to the point where you save scum if it happens when one of them dies. And of course I've saved scum that game quite a bit because I don't want any of the Tiltcast people to die.
Yeah, you built the same team I did.
So, XCOM is a really strong game, and you know it really kind of defines what a tactical game, you know, a tactical game like that is. You know, the cover games that are all you know, unit management tacticals. I want to go back to like Final Fantasy Tactics was one of the very first ones that I played. Ogre Battle was another one. But yeah, it improves on that. I like it. It's just one of my favorites.
So I got one last game, then I'll go back to you.
Okay.
It's a game that you haven't played.
Okay.
Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4. Of course, I wouldn't play that game because I don't have damn
PlayStation. That had the best storytelling of that game. It had the best ending of a game I've ever played.
When I watched you play that, I was impressed with the freaking with the fist fights. The fist fight alone, I was impressed with.
Yeah, that stuff's good, but it's just it's like the best Indiana Jones movie you ever watched. It's as far as like if there was gameplay to something that's like that.
Uh huh.
The storytelling's not as good as like Indiana Jones 1, 2, or 3, but. It's got the all those high points, you know, like the tank chase in Raiders of the Last Ark. It has stuff like that, like just goofy shit where there's a lot of moments of you being chased or you're going on ground or whatever. And it seems like that kind of sequence would be boring as shit, but it's not. Where there's a lot of we're escaping this thing and everything's falling apart shit. Very much like, you know, Temple of Doom, you know, big old boulder rolling behind you as you run kind of stuff.
Right.
It has a lot of that stuff, and there's a lot of puzzles and things like that, and that's great. But the big hallmark of that is just the escapes. It has the best escape sequences in a game.
It has the larger-than-Hollywood style
escapes. Just going through a building as it's collapsing, yeah. Like, just shit like that. It's just... The game wraps up smartly. It looks good. You're invested in the characters. It makes sense. Nathan Drake doesn't want to be this guy that he is. He's lying to his wife. It's just good. It's really good. And it's just... There are games within a game. There were some of the best moments was just the dialogue sequences and the things that you could do during the dialogue sequences. Just the little shit in the background. The attention to detail is really impressive. It's just good.
It's
just good.
And it's good on so many different levels, too. I mean, it takes itself... He's playing a game inside the game at one point. And I think that was just kind of like an interesting little smart move. He was playing Crash Bandicoot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I wasn't going to spoil that, but...
I'll spoil it for you. It's Crash Bandicoot.
Right. And he's trying to explain, like, playing a video game to his wife.
Exactly.
And she's trying to explain why it's fun, and it's just that banter back and forth, and he's...
It's almost a fourth wall break within a fourth wall break.
Yeah, because you're playing Crash Bandicoot inside of Uncharted 4. But yeah, it's just... It was really good. The production of it is, you know, a 5A game. Like, it is beyond AAA. It is one of the best gameplay experiences I've ever played. So it's way the fuck up there in terms of what I like, and I just enjoy it thoroughly.
It's a great pick. It's a great pick.
Yeah, if I had to pick three, like, I'm just saying, these are the three that I even just now, I was like, that was in my head. And I was scrolling through everything that came out this year,
uh-huh.
And nothing stuck out as much as that did. So it has to be on there somewhere.
You know, another one that stuck out with me, and it was, it's probably the biggest surprise for me this year.
Stardew Valley?
No.
What?
Starbound. It's close.
Whoa, wow.
Starbound actually surprised the piss out of me with how it had changed from where it was.
It's a kind of crap, boring game.
Right. It was when you first gifted this game to me, well, and it's really like early alpha.
The super base mechanics.
It was really, and I looked at it and I played it, and it was not
kind of bad Terraria.
Yeah, it was bad Terraria. Terraria was kind of built at that time, and I was playing Terraria, and then I played Starbound, and I'm like, well, this is just terrible.
And it kind of turns into this, like, random gen Metroid.
Like,
you have to advance your level of technology exactly. to get to different moons.
It had,
and dungeons.
It had gating systems built into it. It has questing. It had, exploration, crafting, building, all kinds of, of random, situations that you've got. The technological advancements and the weapons that you can get and everything felt unique, and it had...
Well, there's got to be like 600 weapons.
Yeah, there's still base styles, but of course there's the unique weapons. Like, you get towards the end of the game, you get some really unique weapons. There was one weapon that I picked up that, that you could throw three bouncing metal balls, and it would... bounce off an enemy, hit some form of terrain, and it will eventually come back to you. And you just keep throwing those balls out at the stop.
Too much coffee.
I thought he was going to explode coffee all over my shit.
You guys are wondering what I'm pouring. I made this huge thing of iced coffee.
It's amazing.
I have a ninja.
I'm throwing balls, and he's about to fucking explode fucking coffee all over me. But there's, there's different weapons. There's all kinds of different, biomes and different planets that you can go to and all kinds of
things. Yeah, it's gated by, like, this planet's a radiation planet, so you have to have the gear in order to go to it.
Right. And it's all tied together with an actual freaking story,
It didn't have before.
It didn't have that before.
None of that stuff was tied together, and it was just all these systems kind of apart from each other.
Right.
It's like a house with all the wood surrounding it,
yeah.
And nails, and nothing's there. You see in your head there's potential as to what this house will look like.
Right.
And it's not until it's tied together with that central narrative that it kind of comes together, and it really does. I think that's an excellent pick.
It was probably the biggest transformation of a game from my initial view of it to its final, the final production of that game. It was the biggest transition I'd ever, experienced in a game. And surprised the piss out of me. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. You said, you should play it. And you were playing the just before it released, the last...
Yeah, they were doing these releases where it's like the nightly builds. So as they were building it, they would change like 6 or 7 things and then release it on this like alpha that you could set your client up to download. And I had been playing that and then I got to it and I was like, oh, this is really good. Yeah. This is going to be really, I want to play it right now. And it was in the middle of summer and I had like a point where I was going to take a couple days off. And I remember downloading it and kind of spoiling myself. And I was like, I'm shutting this down. I'm going to play it later. And I actually got to a point where I haven't gotten any further. I'm actually have not finished that game this year.
I finished it. I finished.
About 50 hours or so or something
was,
like that.
It was fun. And of course I spent a little bit of time doing the whole farming thing because you can farm for cash. You can farm and there is a fuckload of things that you can make. You can cook in that game that gives you all kinds of different buffs.
And I had a weird like multi-tiered farm that I got going on my home planet. It set something up where you place a flag on your spot and anytime you want to go back to your base, you use your teleporter and it teleports you back to your home planet where you have your farm or your base, whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
Which was an incredible idea.
Yes. And you didn't know about that until I told you, if I remember correctly.
Probably almost worth restarting again.
It was, it's surprised.
That's probably why my tech tree was so limited, was just not having a lot of the materials because I didn't have that set up.
Yeah. It was, by the time I had finished that game, I had actually had this really cool rainbow sword. That would tear up, it would create a tear in space-time and do damage over time to anything that walked through that tear. And I had an eyeball shooter gun, which was really freaking cool looking. And of course the ranged weapon that allowed me to throw those metal balls, and it just did a bunch of fucking damage. I loved that game. So thank you, 3 years ago for actually gifting me that game because it definitely changed quite a bit.
Well, and that's all we have. So this is kind of like a preview of Game of the Year discussion. And I think what's going to happen is we'll talk more about this stuff in about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
By the time you hear this, it'll be about 3 weeks to a month out. Probably. I'm going to release all these episodes before the end of the year. So 3 episodes in before release. So I'll release like 2 this week and then 2 next week or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
So with that, I don't think there's anything else to talk about. We need to play 7 Days to Die and we need to end the damn show. Right.
We've got some zombies killed.
All right. So with that, we can find our show at tiltcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/tiltcast, facebook.com/tiltcast. We'll post to YouTube and Twitch at some point. And with that, we can find friends of the show, thecarouselpodcast.com, friends of ours, For the Love of Gaming, noquarters.net, bmfcast.com, and tvgp.tv. They do great things. With that, it's the end of the goddamn show. We're out.
All right. See you later. Happy holidays. Peace.